We have a wonderful story here that will be of great insight and edification to us. Some weeks ago at our Sunday night service, the end of September, we looked at this passage. Then our focus was on the young girl who was ill and then died, the daughter of this man Jairus. Today we're shifting the focus from that young girl onto her father. Jairus is the one that we're going to be thinking of particularly. This man was a man of character, a man of status, a man of good standing and influence in the community, being one of the rulers of the synagogue. But I'm sure we all know that standing and character and influence and status are no barriers to sorrow and grief and anguish whenever they visit us. Jairus' daughter had been sick, very sick, in fact, critical. And just at that juncture, he decided that he would go to the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom he had heard much, and knew that he had come back from across the Sea of Galilee, from the other side of Galilee, across the sea, and had come in somewhere around about Capernaum. And he felt that he would make one last ditch effort to try to get some betterment and betterness for this beloved daughter of his. And this is where we find Jairus when we went into our reading this morning. And as we look at this story, I believe it to be both challenging and encouraging as this distressed parent sought deliverance for his little daughter. Challenging to us to see Jairus' response to the critical situation. Encouraging to us to see the outcome for him. And what we're looking at here is a crisis time and how it can be coped with. And I think this should be of instruction to us all, because we all have these times now and again throughout our lives. And I want you to notice a number of things about Jairus then with regard to this crisis. First of all, the intercession he made. He came to the Lord. What did he do when he came to the Lord? He prayed. He interceded. Notice verse 22 of Mark chapter 5. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. What praying! What intercession! Notice, first of all, how pious it was. Here's a man, while he's a ruler of the synagogue, and the Lord Jesus Christ had not been, according to the usual procedure of the Jews, either be installed as a priest or a rabbi, yet here is a man that realizes the worth and value of the Lord, and with reverence and humility and respect acknowledges the uniqueness of Christ, bows down before him, and begins to intercede for his daughter. Whenever you and I are coming to the Lord in prayer, no matter what our burdens are, no matter how pressing they may be, no matter what our feelings may be, may we make sure that we approach the Lord with reverence and with respect. But notice how passionate this intercession was as well. The Bible says he besought him greatly. There was an earnestness here, an intensity. He was acknowledging his great need, and he was praying with great fervor and passion in this intercession. It reminds me of Job. Whenever Job was going through a very dark and a bleak time, he says, Oh, that I knew where I might find him. I would come even to a seat. I would fill my mouth with arguments and order my cause before him. What a way to pray. There's intelligence and there's intensity and feeling and fervor there. The Lord bemoans this fact in his people when he said in Isaiah 64, There is none that stirreth up himself to take hold of me. God longs for you to be fervent and passionate in your praying. But notice how precise it was. Notice verse 23. We are told that the man said, Come and lay thy hands on her. Come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed and live. Here's a man that knew what he was about. He might have been off the mark a wee bit, dictating to the Lord that the Lord should come. But the Lord overlooked it in his case. But the man was being precise and specific. My little daughter, he says, she's at the point of death. So come, lay hands on her that she may be healed and live. Whenever you go to the Lord in prayer, beloved, make sure that you don't beat about the bush. Go and ask. I was listening to a preacher when I was traveling down to Bangor each night, listening to a preacher that I've learned much from over the years, and he kept saying, make sure that the prayer meetings in your church are asking meetings. I said, no problem there. We're always asking the Lord for things in our prayer meetings. But his problem was that he was aware of churches in England where the people, when they gathered for the prayer meetings, never asked. They prayed about this, that, and the other. They told the Lord about a lot of things, but they never really asked. Here's a man in deep need, and he's asking specifically for the Lord to deal in mercy with his daughter who's at the point of death. But notice not only how pious and passionate and precise his praying was, notice how positive he said in verse 23, if you come and lay hands on her, she'll be healed and she'll live. A man that was persuaded in his mind, confident in his mind, that if Christ will only say yes, the work will be done. And then notice how powerful his intercession was with the Lord Jesus. Notice verse 24. And Jesus went with him. He succeeded in his plea. He had success with his appeal. His intercession was efficacious. It had great power. And this is exactly what Jairus wanted. This man can help me if he'll only say yes. And the Lord, without any answering, without any objecting to the terms and the conditions that Jairus was putting on him by saying, you've got to come and lay hands on her. The Lord could have spoken from a distance and didn't have to go at all. But the Lord says, I'll go. And immediately he went with Jairus, and a great crowd was still thronging the way. May I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, today, and I say to myself, it's a wonderful thing to be able to confide in other people whenever there are problems and troubles. And I couldn't emphasize enough the value of good, sound counsel. But make sure that you go to Christ above all, and make sure that you go to him first. And then it may be when you breathe out your woe to him, you might say, Lord, will you show me a way out of this? And the Lord may direct you to some trusted friend or counselor or guide, and what they have to say may be the Lord's answer to you. But make sure you go to Christ in your crisis and go to him first. That's what we see here. Jairus, while he may not have gone to Christ first, he certainly eventually went to Christ when the case was beyond all human aid. But notice, secondly, not only the intervention, the intercession that Jairus made, but notice the information that he received. Notice verse 35. While he yet spake. That means while the Lord Jesus yet spake. Now, that has to do with the woman that he healed. We read that story there, where the woman had the issue of blood. And it's interesting that that poor woman had the hemorrhaging for 12 years. And now she was really beginning to live. Whereas Jairus' daughter was 12 years old. And she was going to lose her life whenever Jairus left. But now, while the Lord is saying to the woman, your faith hath made you whole, go in peace and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? What news? What information? The wee girl must have died shortly after Jairus left the home to go to the Lord Jesus. Notice, first of all, how heartbreaking was the impact of this information. His beloved daughter was dead. Whatever hope he had had with Jesus willing to come had now been dashed. She's dead. She's beyond the reach, he thought, of what the Lord Jesus Christ had been doing. If only he had come sooner, he might have reasoned. Or, if that woman had not stopped the Lord Jesus Christ in the way, maybe the Lord Jesus would have gotten to my home in time. We do not know all that was going through the man's mind, but he was shattered. There he was. The Lord had indicated his willingness to come. And now it seemed as if it were no use. May I say to you again, there will be times in your life and mine when we hear shattering news. Maybe of an accident. Maybe of a sudden death. Maybe of a terminal illness. Maybe somebody who has made wrong choice followed by wrong actions, followed by the subsequent bitterness and heartbreak. How heartbreaking was the impact of this information. But notice how hopeless was the nature of it. Thy daughter is dead. Friend, this is final. When death comes, that's it, as far as this life is concerned. This had happened. It was beyond what the Lord Jesus Christ had been doing, and the Lord had been doing mighty things. Turn back to Mark chapter 1, and notice verse 34. With regard to the Lord Jesus, we read, "And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him." My, what scenes they must have been. But turn over again and look at another verse, this time chapter 3 of Mark's Gospel, and go down to verse 10 and 11. "For he hath healed many, insomuch that they had pressed upon him for to touch him, as many as had plagues. And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried out, saying, Thou art the Son of God." My, what power was being manifested. But what had happened to Jairus' daughter was not in that particular set of great miracles. And we do not read that the Lord had ever healed anybody before this in the Gospel of Mark's account. How hopeless was its nature. Now, there was nothing for Jairus but to make this desolate journey back to his house. What were his thoughts? "My little girl, our home will never be the same again without her. My wife, I need to get back to her. She's there. She's carrying all the burden of this." The poor man was deeply upset. And while all of this information was being relayed to Jairus, it was overheard by the Lord Jesus. Oh, this is tremendous. Notice verse 35. "While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken. We'll notice the significance of this in a moment. But here's the point. The Lord knew all about what Jairus was going through. And the wonderful thing was that whenever the news of the death of the wee girl came, Jairus was in the presence of the Lord and hearing his word. And I say to you, dear people, make sure that you are constantly in communion with God day by day. Never let a day go by but that you read the Bible. Never let a day go by but that you will be before the Lord in prayer. Because you cannot be fitted any better than that against the time when bad news will come your way. It was well for Jairus that he was there, because something wonderful was about to happen. That brings me to the third thing I want you to notice. the instruction he heard. We've seen his intercession as he prayed for the weaker. We've seen the information that he got that was harrowing. And now notice the instruction he heard. Verse 36, we read verse 35 again. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." What instruction? Notice what was intended by this instruction. Think of the mind in turmoil of Jairus at this stage. And the Lord came and said, "Don't be afraid." Jairus was going to be afraid of life without the wee girl, going to be afraid for his wife, who would feel the loss so keenly, as well as himself. And the first words of the Lord to him were, "Don't be afraid." In other words, what was intended here was to calm the fears of Jairus. But also, it was designed to ease his sorrow somewhat. And again, to raise a little bit of hope within him. He says, "Be not afraid, only believe." Why would the Lord Jesus Christ say this to me unless something is going to happen? It's not the end of the story yet. And do you know that whenever you're going through a difficult time, if you're in God's presence by living a life of communion, you can get a word from him too. And that's why I'm saying to you, you need to read the Word of God. If you don't read the Word of God, you'll not know it's in the Word of God. And the Word of God, when it comes to you, when it comes to you, and that'll be rare if you don't read it. But when it comes to you, maybe you're not even reading a particular passage, but a verse that you read in times gone by may suddenly come to your mind, and that's God's word to you to calm your fears, to give a wee bit of relief, and to raise your hope somewhat that there's more to come, and what you're suffering is not the end of the story. So that's what was intended by the word of Jesus, the instruction. But notice when it was imparted. We are told in verse 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue. Right away, the Lord didn't make him wait. He was dealing with this woman. He was sending her on her way rejoicing. And he heard what the friends or the neighbors or the relatives of Jairus was saying to him. And he just turned in an instant. He says, "Don't be afraid. Only believe." Oh, I want to tell you that the Lord is quick to come to the aid of his people. I remember many years ago now, I had received some news that was most disturbing and off-putting. And at the same time, I had heard of one of the deaths associated with our congregation. And I had to go out and try to console that home with the sudden death had come. But whenever I was reading God's word, reading for the comfort of the family, there was a verse in the particular part that I read that God took and applied mightily to my heart and mind, sitting there in that seat, sympathizing with the family. I tell you, God didn't let me go on too long before he gave me a word to steady me up. He'll do it for you too. The Lord is not detached. He's not aloof. He's not uncaring. The hymn writer wrote, "Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done." There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. What a God. What a Savior. What a friend. What a Master. What a Lord he is. What an instruction. Be not afraid, only believe. How do you think the man felt when he heard that? Now, he wasn't talking to the Lord at that time. These people that bore the bad news, they were talking to him. The Lord had been dealing with the lady. And there was a vast crowd about, plus the Lord's disciples. But when the Lord heard that, he spoke to the man. He began to feel calm. He began to feel relieved. He began to feel hopeful. But still, his daughter was dead. But here's the wonderful thing. The Lord Jesus was still willing to go with him. And this is an amazing story. I want you to notice this. And from verse 37 right down to the end of the chapter, we have finally the intervention that this man witnessed. The Lord has spoken that word to him. Be not afraid, only believe. And now the Lord, Jairus sees. I'm using my imagination, friend. I hope it's a sanctified one. This is what Jairus can see in imagination. The Lord Jesus, perhaps with the hands up, saying, all right, people, that's as far as you go. Peter, John, James, you come over here. The rest of you stay. Jairus, let's go to your house. So there are the five of them, the three disciples, Jairus and the Lord Jesus, walking along that road that leads to the house of death and the house of mourning. What were Jairus' thoughts? What was he thinking? She's dead, my girl. But the Master has told me, be not afraid, only believe. And he's coming with me. Something must be going to happen. And then they came in sight of the locality. What a crowd is gathered around. The Bible uses the word tumult. And the processional mourners are there. Whenever a person died in these days, in Bible days, they brought out processional mourners to weep and to wail. They were all there. And the Lord Jesus and Jairus and Peter and James and John make their way through the crowd. And the Lord Jesus says, what's all this fuss about? Why all this ado? The damsel's not dead, but sleeping. And then those tearful mourners, those professional mourners, suddenly change into loud guffaws and scornings and laughed at the Lord Jesus Christ, thinking he didn't know. Jairus watches this. And then he sees the Lord Jesus Christ disposing of those professional mourners, dispatching them out of the way. And whatever other group was in the house as the Lord Jesus made his way in, he had the house emptied. Jairus meets his wife. No doubt there's a tight and a tearful embrace. And the Lord Jesus is there. Jairus introduces his wife to the Lord Jesus and Peter, James, and John. And just at that moment, the Lord Jesus Christ confronts death. And as he does, I want you to notice three things with regard to this mighty intervention of the Lord Jesus. How momentous this intervention would be. There's the wee girl lying on the bed. The Lord Jesus is now taking over. He goes over to that bedside. An imagination. I can see him either sitting on the side of the bed or maybe a chair beside the bed. He takes the little girl's lifeless, limp hand into his warm, gentle, caring hand. And then he speaks to the little girl. Notice what he says in the words in verse 41. He took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha cumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And some have said that what he said there was simply this, little girl, get up. And then he said, I say unto thee, arise. And then, think of the mother and father there, Peter, James, and John, and the Lord watching that wee girl. The eyes begin to open. And then the wee girl begins to rise up, sits on the bed, looks around her, gets out of bed and begins to walk, what she couldn't do before she died because she was wasting away. She had this illness that was taking her life, lying at the point of death. At the point of death, Jairus said. But now she's able to walk about the room. Is it any wonder the parents were astonished? The dead coming back to life. Luke tells us in this story that her spirit came back again. The Lord Jesus brought it back. And those parents were astonished out of measure. And listen to what the Lord Jesus said. Just to see how practical this matter of Christianity is and how practical the Lord was. He'd only have to perform the mighty miracle. And then he says to the parents, get her something to eat. It wasn't a miracle she needed now. It was just the usual things that all of us need from day to day to stay alive. We need food. And the Lord Jesus said, get her something to eat. And then he says, don't be broadcasting this abroad. Can you see, as Jesus and the disciples, and especially the Lord Jesus, takes his leave of Jairus and his wife and the wee girl, imagination feels at the euphoria and the ecstasy of the family. What would Jairus' thoughts be? Well, notice not only how momentous this intervention could be, but notice how merciful that it was. The distraught parents were comforted and relieved and made jubilant. The wee girl herself was raised to life. And it was all because of the mercy of the Lord. The Lord set out that day to go to help. Jairus wasn't expecting that she would die before Jesus would get there. But friend, things might get worse for you in your crisis times. Even though you have gone to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't despair. Don't lose heart. The Lord's timing is always right. How momentous this intervention was, how merciful it was, and then lastly, how meaningful it would be. It would no doubt encourage Jairus and his family and lead them to trust without reserve the Lord Jesus Christ as their Master, their Savior, their Lord. It would strengthen the faith of these dedicated disciples of theirs to see the mighty miracle that the Lord had performed before their eyes and in their company. It would silence the scorners, the scoffers, and the skeptics without. And it would glorify the Lord Jesus Christ himself. What an event. May I say to you that this will happen again on a grand scale one day. The voice of the Lord Jesus will be involved in it. We read of it in John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. The Lord says, marvel not, but I say unto you, that the dead that are in the grave shall hear the voice of the Son of God. Some shall arise to the resurrection of life, and others to the resurrection of damnation. Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, said in 1 Thessalonians 4, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. There's the word of God again. With a shout! And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. It'll take place. And you know it takes place in the spiritual dimension, in the spiritual realm, in these days. Whenever a man or a woman or a girl or a boy who's dead in trespasses and in sins, and that's how the Bible describes you if you're not a Christian, you're dead spiritually, just the way that wee girl was physically, no life. So you're dead spiritually. But the voice of Christ and his word comes to you through the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. And one of these days, you respond to that voice. Born again, you trust Christ as your Savior. Oh, the mighty, miraculous power of Christ. And then in your crisis, in your distress, in your hopelessness, the Lord comes to you And he says to you, be not afraid, only believe. Are you going through a hard time now? Be not afraid, only believe. That's what the Lord Jesus replied to one who in grief came to him for relief, but heard his dear daughter had died. Be not afraid, only believe. How quickly the Lord did console. And in that dark hour, by his mighty power, the little girl was made whole. Be not afraid, only believe. The Savior still says today, and if only you'll do what he's saying to you, your anguish he'll take away.